set free, and I've seen people get entangled. You know, I had to put that in there. Why y'all laughing? I have witnessed supernatural healings. Y'all remember when the little boy was afflicted in the church, and he was going through that for several periods of time, but then when he had an episode in our church, the saints and the people of God got together, prayed for that little boy, and by the time the ambulance showed up, they actually just listened to a snippet of service and turned back around. No problems. I've also seen the preservation of our temple during storms. I told you about when Hurricane Irma came, it tore this building open like a sardine can. The roof was actually rolled up, and this building went unscathed. We only had one TV fall. That was it. Our power's been out for 2 weeks, but people still celebrated God. We've seen the defeat of warlocks and rich witchcraft. We've seen people who are tried to take over the ministry. Didn't happen, as well as outright assaults against the people of God. Many of you all have inboxed my wife and I of several things that have happened, from health problems, serious health problems, to several types of issues over the years. I've also seen time after time God provide as Jehovah Jireh during times of lack and sustainment during this pandemic, and we have relatively been unscathed. God is faithful and has seen us through it all. Through it all, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Through it all, we depend on his word. And recently, this is where I'm going with this, there has been a manifestation that we can't skip over. One of my ways of being able to deal with things that are kind of tough is that I analyze it, I think about it, and I kind of laugh it off a little bit, but I was directed to deal with this. What do you mean, preacher? Well, it was the appearance last week of a snake and or serpent approaching the pulpit, crawling up the side. That's what we can't skip over. It wasn't any ordinary snake, but it was actually felt in the spirit before it appeared. And once recognized, summarily defeated. It was small in nature, but it moved rapidly. It was almost as if it was aware of the atmosphere that it was in. But nevertheless, it still appeared. It still appeared. And I'm reminded of the saying in many church circles, first the natural, then the spirit. This is no small matter. So I want to alert the people of God to go deeper in prayer at this very hour and be watchful in the days and weeks ahead. It is no wonder, even as we marched from Target in regards to the deep sin of racism and prejudice in this particular nation, the same route that was taken to this church was the same route that two young men were shooting at each other like gangbusters and like Lone Ranger and Tonto as they were going down the street. They were shooting at each other. Even as my wife was standing outside, she heard gunshots ring. It could have pierced her heart. It could have pierced her head. It could have killed one of our children, but it did not happen. Because the Spirit of God was permeating as the prayers of the righteous were being uttered along those streets. First the natural, then the spirit. It's no small matter. And so in the days and weeks ahead, I want us to be watchful, prayerful, not fearful. Because there's been a lot of fear that's going on around there, out there. And a lot of it has been manufactured. I think the people of God do not need to be fearful. I think that we should be cautiously optimistic. You see the difference? Don't be fearful, because fear is something that can control you. But I think that we need to be cautiously optimistic, because that thing right there was not by happenstance. And so likewise, even as Jesus was talking to the different types of people who were coming against him, he didn't mince words, not at all. He didn't mince them with false teachers that he confronted. And I also want to teach you about this thing, this adversary, this enemy, so that you can recognize his plans and battle schemes. The very first way that I wanted to show this to you all, people of God, is subtle as a serpent. This is one of the approaches that the adversary uses in order to throw off the people of God. Let's look at this in the verse of scripture, and let's see this all pan out. And see, when you learn the adversary, when you see the adversary, then you'll begin to be able to pick up what is really going on in this world. Hasn't it been confusing over the last several months? Hasn't it been a lot of fear? But if you know the word says that God is not the author of confusion. And so if things are very confusing, or the government is very confusing, or if the CDC guidelines are very confusing, then you know it's not of God. If it's from God, then it should bring peace. If it's from God, it should bring prosperity. If it's from God, it should bring a level of clarity. Even if it's hard, you're clear as far as the objective is concerned. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 13 tells us how the subtlety of a serpent is very clear. It says in verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty, more subtle, more cunning than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' This serpent was not on its belly at the time. It was actually standing upright. Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So the woman knew the instructions. The serpent appeared among the people of God. But it's the reaction that comes after this that is very key. Notice what it says in verse 4. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Or you won't die. But God said that you would. But the devil said, you won't die. If you do what you want to do, you won't die. And notice what it says in verse 5. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. I mean, how can a man resist a naked woman with fruit in her hand? And he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew. Y'all all right? Just what the word said. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Did you see how the devil did that? He just came in, not by force, but just with words. You don't need to go to church. Take a break during this pandemic. You don't need God. I figured that the devil would stop during the pandemic too, right? No, he has not. He's actually upped the ante. He's upped his words. So in the very first phrase, I want to show you this. Matter of fact, the result. The result of the subtleness or the cunningness of the adversary is this. When you look at these verses of scripture, what do we see pop out here? Number one, we see guilt by the covering of the loincloths. Being aware of certain things. The scripture talks about how when you become extremely wise and knowledgeable, it brings a whole bunch of sorrow along with it. There's a certain thing or such thing as knowing too much. You don't need to be exposed to everything because there are some things that you cannot unhear and cannot unsee. It's like you going on Facebook and you see that a nice little warning saying this may be very graphic. You go ahead and click on the button anyway because you want to see. Every human has that particular propensity or curiosity to eat or partake of fruit that is forbidden. The next thing is shame. They hid themselves from God. They hid themselves from their spiritual father. They hid themselves from their creator. Then they also felt condemned because they said the words, Lord God, I didn't want to come into your presence because I knew that you would be upset for us eating the fruit of that specific tree. And then sadly, and most poignantly, separation from God. These are the results of how the enemy comes in and creeps in. Number one, by speaking with a forked tongue. Because he partially told the truth. He said that you will not die. And they didn't die that day. But later on, they were in the mode of actually dying. You have to be careful of being around people that carry a spirit of a forked tongue. In other words, it's an individual that can tell the truth and a lie at the same time. That's why many people say that politicians speak with a forked tongue. It is what it is. I was for it before I was against it. All these things have happened on a regular basis. And so this enemy came in very subtly, just using words, and then pushing the people of God into eternal darkness. And let me give you a quick example of what darkness is. You see how it talks about the tree of knowledge and good and evil, right? Well, what is exactly the tree of knowledge and good and evil? It's the knowledge of things without God. That's what the tree of knowledge and good and evil is, as opposed to the knowledge or the tree of life. If they just would have partaken of the tree of life, which is actually Jesus Christ himself, the first fruit, the very first fruit, and just partake of him, there's no reason for you to know about all of the stuff. They just need to know about good. But what is really evil? Anybody ever thought about that? Evil is like darkness. If you look at it very clearly, what is really darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. What happens to a flower when it's hidden away from the sunlight for an extended period of time? It begins to wither away, right? Right. So when you stay away from the things of God, remember, you are made by God. You are made in his image and his likeness. We are called the children of the light. And even if you're not saved, you still have God's DNA on the inside of you. And so when you stay in darkness, you begin to wither away, and your soul begins to wither away. Your outlook on life begins to wither away. Things around you start to turn chaotic, and you wonder, how in the world, where did this all happen? Because we need to stay close to the light. Children have a great idea of this, because even at nighttime, a lot of times they want to have a nightlight inside of their room. Or they want to have the light on in their room. I say, Mama, Daddy, can you turn the light on for me? I want to go to the bathroom. That was a tune that my brother used to say when he needed to go to the restroom at night. He said, can you turn the light on me? I want to go to the bathroom. Because he felt comfort in light. But in darkness, he couldn't really find his way. Evil is birthed in dark places because it's away from God. It's the absence of God. That's what darkness really is. Anybody that walks in darkness does not have God in their lives, and their life reflects the darkness that is around them. And oftentimes when you come to the light, there's either two things. There's either hope or there is condemnation, because who wants to be exposed of their evil deeds? But if you're a child of God, you want to be exposed of those particular evil deeds so that you could become better. So we see the approach by the enemy, subtle as a serpent, cunning, deceptive, crafty. Girl, don't talk to that boy. He ain't for you. Man, don't talk to that woman. He's not for you, or she's not for you. I don't think that you should do that. But ain't nothing happened to me. I'm good. Oh, you don't understand that sometimes the devil gets you ensnared with a delayed web. A delayed web. Nothing doesn't happen to you in the very beginning, but then you end up getting wrapped up, and then you're like, oh, I see what pastor's talking about now. But sometimes pride sets in because you don't want to say I was wrong. But let me show you how to defeat this particular enemy. Number one, you have to have God. You have to have God. God is there to defeat the enemy. But also, in order to understand the approach of the enemy, let me give you some other distinctives. You have to have God. And God will show you, number one, how to be transparent. What did the children of God do? They covered themselves when they did wrong. They hid themselves. Let me put it in modern day vernacular. They stopped going to church. They stopped hanging around the people of God because I don't feel like being judged right now. But how are you going to get better? What do you think they're doing right now with all the medicines that are flowing through right now? They're judging them and they're scrutinizing them so that if they get put inside of humans, it won't affect them even worse. So likewise, if you're a child of God, in order for you to get better, you have to be held accountable. And you can't be held accountable by somebody else who's also in darkness. How could two people get out of a pit and you on the same floor? So you have to have somebody that has a long enough ladder that you can look up to so that you can crawl yourself out and be encouraged to get out of that same pit. Notice that I said that the person doesn't jump in the pit. They just give you a ladder. That means that the person who is on a different level doesn't need to stoop down to your level. I don't need to relate to you and go through as much of sin as you did in order to get you out. No, let me show you the ladder. This is the way out. You don't have to crawl up it, but let me lower it down for you. I'm at least give it to you. This is the way that you get up out of this particular situation. And so if you feel deceived, transparency is important. Exposing yourself. This is what I have done before God. That's the reason why altar calls and why prayer is so important. This is where you confess before the Lord. Transparency. The other a way to defeat this approach of the enemy is through grace. You see, the thing that Adam and Eve did not understand that is that they walked in condemnation. As soon as they did something wrong, they hid themselves. I know God was right when he said this. I didn't even want to get myself in this situation. So versus coming to God and telling them, hey, this is what I've been going through. I made some wrong choices. I chose to push away from you. I examined the darkness, and the darkness was pleasing to me. I wanted to listen to all these things. I was drawn to it even more. And I'm sorry, God. They said, no. Let me go ahead and cover myself. Let me distance myself. Let me hide from God. You can't hide from God. He sees everything. Your house is not, put it this way. Do you believe that God, when you start coming to church and when you start being around the people of God, that God is like this? I can't see them. They're at the house. I can't see them no more. I can't see what they're doing. It's their business. I'm minding my own business too. No. God is a spirit, and he sees things in hidden form, both in the mind and in the heart. He understands the thoughts and intentions of an individual's heart. It's also a time of confession. Confession is good for the soul. You can't kill what you don't confess. If you don't know what's wrong with you, let somebody tell you. And then when somebody tells you what's wrong with you, then you need to confess and you need to agree with it. Not just keep on saying, oh, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, you just trying to judge me. No. Confess it, and then you can kill it. And then finally, get close during times of trouble and sin. What did Adam and Eve do? They pushed away from God. They hid away from the garden, and they started separating themselves, even in God's house. You missed it. They didn't separate. The separation didn't come. The separation came later when God pushed them out of the garden. He separated them later on, but in the very beginning, they separated themselves within God's house, within the garden. So a lot of times when Christians are struggling, you should do the opposite. If you're struggling, you're a child of God, and you're in the house of the Lord, you shouldn't try to separate yourself among the people of God. That is of the devil. It is of the devil. That's how people become detached, even among good people. Adam and Eve never left the garden. They were right there, but they were pushing away from God, even in God's house, in the place that he provided for them. But the antidote to that is to come closer to God. Let the pastor, let the elders, let the prophetesses, let those that are seasoned in the things of God know what's going on. Let them know what's going on. I don't want my business to be put out there. Well, if they're godly, they won't put your business out there. If they're godly, they won't put your business out there. If you didn't know, we don't have a ratchet, messy church. Say this a little bit louder. We may have ratchet and messy people, but we don't have a ratchet and messy church. Because everybody got issues, right? Right. But one of the things I love about this church is that people are willing to get close to God even during troubled times. And if you're not going or not in that particular vein of things, try it out. Try being messy with the people of God, instead of being messy without the people of God. You'll see a difference. The second way is the angel of light. So I gave you the first way, as subtle as a serpent. I did not even see that snake appear right there. I was looking at y'all like, what are y'all looking at? I didn't even see it. I was like, what's happening here? But then I was reminded that sometimes I have blind spots. And that's why it's good to be around strong people of God that can recognize things when I can't even see them. Because I don't know everything, and I don't see everything. And the funny thing about it is that the snake didn't approach you all. It approached this way. So as the people of God, you have to cover your pastor in prayer, and you also have to protect him. Not protect him as in just standing in front of him only, because I got hands, y'all. I got hands. I'm talking about spiritually, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And when we did that prayer walk, that triggered some things. It triggered some things. Our church was the lead church, and it triggered some things. And we have other events that's coming on after that. That was one of the other announcements. On August the 2nd, we're leading off the conversation as far as racial reconciliation in our churches on August the 2nd in this particular building. And then we'll be panelists moving from that point on. Keila, you're going to be one of the panelists. I just want to let you know that right now. All right. She's like, okay. Good. Because we have to be able to speak to this scourge that's affecting a lot of people. And we're going to be doing it once every couple of weeks, because we can't just march and then don't do nothing else after that. Now comes the hard work. Even some churches dropped out because they can't distinguish between Black Lives Matter from Black Lives Matter. I'll say it before, I'll say it again. How can you be a pastor or a theologian and can't make the distinction between Black Lives Matter from Black Lives Matter, and then you go on to talk about hypostatic union and talk about Arminianism and Calvinism and all of these Reformed theology and neurotheology, and you can't understand the distinguishing element between those two, but you can understand the distinguishing elements between all those other things. Let's not be intellectually or spiritually lazy. Angel of light. Angel of light. That, there's a little bit of righteous indignation when it comes to that type of things. Pride. Even within our churches. Angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 through 15, or 12 through the 15 verse in the English Standard Version says, and what I am doing, I will continue to do. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians, you know, the fleshly church. Green, if you put it this way, anybody seen Greenleaf before? Don't raise your hand. I watched it. Okay. So if you understand what Greenleaf is, and that whole church, it was a big, giant, messy church, right? Lots of money, things like that, but it's just drama every single corner, every time. There are some churches that are like that. Some of y'all came from churches like that. We're trying to keep that from happening here. So Corinth was a green leaf type of church in the New Testament. Things and the praises of God were going forward, but it was a bunch of mess behind the scenes. And the best way to deal with messiness and ratchetness is expose it all. And don't even let it take root. I won't even let it take root. And so verse 12 says this. Notice what Paul is saying right here to the Corinthians. He said, and what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. What is he talking about here? Well, a couple of verses above that, he is talking and basically comparing himself to some of the false apostles and teachers that are around that always are asking for money before they serve God. And they do it on a consistent basis, speaking smooth lies in their ears. And notice what he says. He says it puts the hay down where the goats can get it. Verse 13, it says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. My wife showed me this flyer the other day that was called the meat, the strong, what is it? The Strong Meat Conference. It is nothing but men on the front. Just like you laughing, that's the message that it conveyed. Verse 14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants, look at this, y'all. So it's saying that his servants, Satan, has servants preaching and teaching, coming off as if they're giving real meat. but it's actually poisoned me to the people of God. They disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, but they're actually servants of the devil. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Haven't y'all seen some preachers die in the pulpit? I might as well say it. No disrespect, but all of the great things that Bishop Eddie Long did, at the end of the day, he got recompensed for the seeds of evil that he sowed. And it ate away at him fast. Fast. So as a result of the angel of light, or people who claim to be for God but not of God, the result of this phenomenon is false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, heresies. Most church folk, even within our community, don't even know what heresy is. And false believers, they also end up with feelings of betrayal. I never thought that, I thought the Bible said that it hasn't in the Bible. Let me give you the quick example of something that would be heretical, right? It's like you saying that, well, the preacher needs to have multiple wives, because in the Old Testament, isn't that what David did? He was a man after God's own heart, right? It's in Scripture. It is in Scripture. But there's things that are descriptive and there's things that are prescriptive. Sometimes the Bible describes what's going on, but it's not a prescription for you to do it. And so when you have carnal pastors, they end up doing all these little weird things in order to heap power to themselves, and the people go along with it because they figure that this is a trusted individual. But then when you come out of that, then what ends up happening? Church hurt. Feelings of betrayal. Your relatives say that you've been brainwashed by those people down there at that church. And the part that really is upsetting is that oftentimes these false apostles, false prophets, false teachers drown out the true voices. That's what they were doing with Paul at this moment in time. The Corinthian church had a bunch of false prophets and false teachers on flyers in their community. And they had a whole bunch of conferences. And then Paul and them pop up preaching the true gospel. And watch this. The people were so upset with them until they were actually trying to run Paul and them out of there. Let me give you what God really thinks about this. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 30 through 32, in the New Living Translation, says, "Therefore, says God, I am against these prophets who steal messages from each other and claim they are from me." Lord, have mercy. I'm going to repeat that again so that somebody online that believes in marine spirits can hear this. "Therefore, says the Lord, I am against these prophets who steal messages from each other because they have no revelation from me. But they claim that they are from me." Look at what God is saying. Verse 31. "I am against these smooth-tongued prophets who say, this prophecy is from the Lord. By this time tomorrow." What happened to all the this time tomorrow things? Prosperity gospel has gotten a beating since this pandemic has closed and has taken over. You can't really raise an offering the same way online as you do in person. You have less control over the people when they're at home. But if it's of God, it will last. If it's not of God, then it's going to take a beat, and there's churches are closing one after another. Just like there's businesses that are closing one after another. My wife and I, we were looking at, I don't know what kind of article that she saw, but she saw an article that says that you can actually be a part owner of a Steak and Shake right now for $10,000. Y'all better go ahead and look around instead of getting a loan in order to try to get another raggedy car. Maybe you should invest instead. Tell somebody. And these opportunities will pop up. Who is it? It was a couple of places. Red Robin shut down several stores, so they're looking for investors. Steak and Shake is looking for investors, as well as other different types of places. And so instead of spending it on frivolous things like 15 Gucci belts, maybe, just maybe, investing in something that could go into the future. So people of God, I'll say this as a side note. Please keep your eyes open for opportunities. during the storm. Some people will be swept away, but there's also things that start growing after the storm is over. I want you to be fully aware. But God is saying, hey, in verse 32, I'm against these false prophets. Their imaginary dreams and flagrant lies. It's like a flagrant file. flagrant file. I wish I had a flag for some of the stuff that I heard. I went to one conference one time. This one church in a certain city close here. And I was sitting at this particular conference with this old school prosperity preacher. And I thought he was going to say something different because I haven't seen him in like 10 or 15 years. He used to be on the Word Network and I used to watch him in the early 2000s. I was like, man, this sounds really good because I didn't know any better. But then I saw him in person, and then once I started growing into the knowledge of the Lord and I understood what scriptures were in context, as soon as I came into the building, I felt disgusted. I felt disgusted and I felt sick because of the amount of heresy and the amount of twisting of God's word that was going on in this place. And I was shaking in my seat. Lady Martin could tell you this. I was shaking in my seat. I was like, man, I need to stand up and throw a flag. Some of y'all need to do that with some of these crazy conferences. Have a flag in your pocket. Say, heresy. It don't say that in the Bible. Heresy. Now, they'll escort you out. But you might save a couple of people. You might save a couple of people in the midst of that. Heresy. The Bible don't say that. The scriptures don't say that. Flag on the play. Flagrant file. Because it's a flagrant lie. But it's a flagrant file. It's something that is so egregious and over the top until no one can overlook it. But we got a lot of people who are overlooking things because, you know, you grew up in that church. He says, I'm against these false prophets, their imaginary dreams and flagrant lies. Let me move quickly. That lead my people into sin. I do not send them or appoint them, and they have no message at all for my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. That's crazy. So God said, I didn't send them. They're stealing messages from each other on the internet. Plagiarism. You know how the amount of plagiarism that is going on in the body of Christ, it is astounding how many people have stolen messages from T.D. Jakes and they figured it's going to work at their church. Stole the messages from myself. Put our stuff on their flyer ourselves. It's happened in this church. And I called them out. And they don't even talk to us. So how do you prevent against an angel of light? Do things the Berean way. Oh, I would like to say that this is the way that divine truth should do things. What is the Berean way? Number one, let's look at it in scripture. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 through 13 says this. This is how you help discern between of an angel or be able to tell what is an angel of light. Because when you see an angel, you figure it's something that's going to give you a good message. And I also would thought that this is actually talking about the devil himself, but it's actually talking about false prophets as angels of light. And the angels of light are actually his servants, because pastors are seen as lampstands or lights of the lampstand that Jesus is supposed to be in the midst of. But when Jesus finds out that you're false, he comes out and he takes and he snuffs out your lampstand. Haven't you been seeing a lot of lampstands being smoked out? It's almost like somebody licking their finger and doing tss, 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 taking out their lights as they go around. That's what Jesus does when he takes men who are false teachers from out of the pulpit. Sometimes he lets them go on. Like Saul, he fired him 2 years into his ministry, but let him keep working for another 38 years to be ineffective for a long time. It's true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 through 13 says, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Talk about the Bereans. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. So the word wasn't just for men, it's for men and women. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, watch this, hear this, found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul and Berea also, they came there as well, agitating and stirring up the crowds. So that means that sometimes the devil will get into other church folk from other places to try to shut down or try to dilute the word of God among the people of God. but the Bereans held firm. So what does this mean? In order for you to really understand the approach of the enemy and defeat the approach of the enemy, you want to do things the Berean way. In other words, when you come to church, a good teaching church, you should be excited to learn. I can't wait what the word of the Lord is going to say today. In other words, be ready to receive. It's kind of like those little chicks that you would see. If you ever see some chicks on a farm, or you see them inside of a nest, inside of a tree, and you see the mama bird coming by, and they're getting ready to all that stuff inside of their mouth, the words like, I don't care what it tastes like, I'm hungry. And the babies are just like this, just ready to receive. The same way that you have a nursing baby and the baby smells the mother's bosom and they start rooting around. That's what they're talking about. That's the context of how you should be when it comes to the word of God. You should be ready to receive, ready to learn, not just sitting there being like, I'm ready to reject. If you tune out in church, then maybe you're in a position where you're ready to reject. I ain't trying to hear what you got to say. And if you don't receive nothing, what happens? You starve. You become emaciated. You become a skeleton. You're dying in the church because you're not ready to receive. So you have to be noble-minded. You have to be ready to receive. Number one. Number two, you also have to be trusting but verify. That's an old saying from the Reagan era. Trust but verify. I trust you, but let me follow up. You said that you were going to be at XYZ place. So, I know that we just met each other, but I need to verify your integrity. And that's what they did. Let me look at the word and let's see what you're saying. You ever wonder why we have this type of church where we have the words up there as I'm preaching? Because I know oftentimes within the black and brown community, we entertain and don't explain. We entertain, but don't explain. Now look at what's happening to a lot of the entertainers. You don't see as much entertainment any longer because people got Google now. Is this preacher lying? Google, is this preacher lying? Alexa, is this preacher lying? Siri, is this preacher lying? I can't answer that question. Ask your pastor. But that's what's going on today. And what I've seen is on Facebook, especially after getting all these friend requests, I've seen the result of a bunch of people who are entertained in their churches. It's a tremendous amount of biblical illiteracy as a result. And so then when you start teaching, they start looking all around and be like, entertainment. I need some entertainment. I need some entertainment. Entertain me, preacher. Go ahead and slide across the floor. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and do a corny little rap song in the front. Play the flute for me. Sing in the streets for me. That's what they did with Jesus. Jesus is like, I'm not finna do that. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here so that you can learn. Like the Bereans. Well, your church ain't big. Well, you have no depth. What do you want? A large amount of people that are shallow? Or do you want a few that can be deep? Which one do you think will last longer? Those that have some depth, those that have a firm foundation on the word of God. That's how we've been able to be sustained over the last decade. Our church should have been gone. Based on statistics, we should have been gone. Pandemic, been gone. Recession, we birthed our ministry in a recession, been gone. Got into a building we couldn't afford, should have been gone. First couple of months. But yet here we are with a daycare. And we have the keys to the city in our hand. It's crazy. We have the commissioner of our particular region that's following my Facebook page and actually liking my post. She liked my Black Lives Matter post. So this is not just a happenstance type of place. We want our people to be rooted in the things of God. Let me move on. So we see the first two approaches. Subtle as a serpent, cunning. Be careful of slick folk. That's a spirit. Be careful of people who look so bright on the outside, but on the inside, they're like dead man's bones. Angel of lice. The scripture says they're servants of the devil. And then the third way, which is my final way, is a roaring lion. Now, typically, I want you to see the levels of deception. The very first way is kind of cunning, but if you catch it in time, you can eliminate it. The second way is when you see upstanding man of God, and I just want to preach the word. I remember one other individual came to our church some time ago, and he was looking around, just looking around, observing, but not observing the spirit, observing how many people I can take away from this place. Let me see if they have strong leadership so I could take over. I'm all about teaching X, Y, and Z. I could teach this on a regular basis. Do you talk about this? Do you talk about that? Do you talk about this? And because I would succeed the pulpit to him, then all of a sudden, well, we need to explore a couple more places. There won't be any coup d'etat in here. I didn't say thoughts. I said coup d'etat. Cool. You see, I love our people, boy. Y'all love God with your little hood at the same time. No coups in here. You have to be able to teach. You have to see things. So that we have several angels of light. My wife can tell you these people to be like, okay, let me. My Lady Martin, she could pick them out just like this. Some of y'all could pick them out just like, be like, what do you think about him, babe? What do you think about her? Let them sit in the back row for a long period of time. Because when you're a leader and you come into a new ministry, you shouldn't try to sit up in the front when you first get there. The way the kingdom goes is that you serve your way to the front. You are a servant, and then you can become first. But if you try to become first, then I'm going to put you last. And it's worked for us. 10 years. So this roaring as a lion is a little bit different because you can't be fooled by the cunningness of a serpent. Bump him, girl. I can already see where he's coming from. I can read him a mile away. I can read her a mile away. I can already tell. That's okay. I'm good. They're saying, where you at on the text message? And you don't even respond. But you screenshot it. Be like, look how thirsty he is. I already know what his angle is from because he tried to talk to somebody else that I knew a little while ago, but I ain't even falling for that. I'm too old for stuff like that. But then the angel of light, okay, good thing. Out, great package, but on the inside, dead man's bone. So that don't fool you, but then a roaring lion. Let's see what this is all about. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, it says, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to eat up, to ultimately destroy. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you so that you can go through this attack. It said nothing about prevent it. Did you see prevent anywhere in there? You didn't see prevent anywhere in the word. In other words, people of God, saints of God, sometimes the enemy will come at you like a ferocious lion, and God is not going to get you out of the lion's pit. What will he do while you're in the pit? Number one, he says it inside of the verse. He says you're going to suffer a little while. This lets you know that as a Christian, you're going to have to go through some things. Sometimes it's for no reason at all, but to strengthen and to build up your faith, to be a testimony to someone else who is weak in their faith. I don't understand why my child's health is being attacked. This came from out of nowhere. I lost a job and I was actually promoted. This came from out of nowhere. I've been in a good relationship for so long, and I just lost my husband. Came from out of nowhere. These are strong, ferocious attacks that are seeking to actually overwhelm you with their power and strength. And lions don't give you a long time to react, do they? A snake, you can kind of see it coming. Angel of the light, you can only tell what's going on with them when you get a little bit closer. But a roaring lion, it pounces on you without any notice. It's like finding a notice like we did in 2014 that you have 30 days to get out of this building. It just came from out of nowhere. What? 30 days? We we've been here for 4.5 years. How am I going to find a place for our people to go in 30 days? And we didn't find anything until the week before we had to move out. Roaring lion. But how to defeat this approach of the enemy? Let me show you this. This is when you have to step out of the way and let the lion of Judah come forth with a ferocious faith. Let me show you how tough this is, y'all. In Judges chapter 14, verse 5 through 9, it says this, and I quote, "Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came towards him roaring. Then the spirit of the Lord," watch this, y'all, "rushed upon him." So when the lion showed up, the lion showed up. When the lion showed up, the lion showed up. Oh, you missed it. When Scar showed up, what happened? Simba showed up. And if you put it in the Lion King type of voice. In other words, the fake lion was there first, but the real lion showed up second. Where did the lion come from? It came from within, because the spirit of the Lord was upon him. And then he was anointed to preach the gospel. And then he was able to speak. And then he was able to do some things, not out of his own strength, but because of the strength that was on the inside of him. The false lion was first, but the true lion came up after that. Verse 6, "Then the spirit of the Lord rushed." It didn't creep upon him. It rushed upon him. In other words, the spirit of the Lord was ready to respond. As fast as the lion pounced, the God showed up. It was like, okay, wait a minute. Here's the second lion. Oh, you want to get froggy, devil? Okay, well, I got something on the inside of me that's going to jump. In other words, I'm going to have ferocious faith as soon as you ferociously attack. Cancer notice. Oh, I'm going to stand in faith. COVID notice. I'm going to stand in faith. I don't need to be fearful. Billing notices. Getting ready to cut off. No, I'm going to stand in faith. Scar showed up, but Simba showed up. The devil as a young roaring lion showed up first, but the lion of Judah showed up second. So then the spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, Lord have mercy, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. In other words, I got this. I got the spirit of the living God on the inside of me. I got this. I don't need to go and run to Pastor Martin or Lady Martin. I got this. I can understand this attack. He jumped. Guess what? I'm going to get froggy with it too. Guess what? The spirit of the Lord is going to rush upon me, and then I will be able to preach the gospel, and I will be able to stand with a ferocious faith towards this same type of enemy. He tore the lion to pieces with nothing in his hands except for his hand. Teach my hands to war. Praise is a weapon. What kind of weapons do you have? You have your voice. Get worship and praise. I know that crazy governor out there in California saying these people can't even sing, but that's when you should get even louder. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his smoke filled the vein of his temple. Praise ye the Lord. Clean these lips of clay, Lord God. Let me be able to respond to this ferocious attack of the enemy. You may be let go on Monday. Praise ye the Lord. God has got me. If he did it before, he could do it again. If he did it before, he could do it again. Not just one time, not just two times, but three times. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever and ever and ever. He tore the lion into pieces as if it was a young goat. What is a young goat? It's something that is unholy to God. It's a scapegoat. It's something that's supposed to have written in it all types of sins that's supposed to be sent out into the wilderness. But I don't need a goat when I have the Lamb of God. Holy is the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born into sin that I may enter in, the precious Lamb of God. But he did not tell his mama or his daddy what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he turned and returned to take her. And he said aside, watch this, y'all. I had this pause right here. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion that he once tore apart. And behold, there was a swarm of bees, not flies. Woo! it was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey, and he scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. In other words, he learned from that experience. Yeah. It seemed as if it was going to tear him apart, but he actually learned from that experience, and he actually looked at the carcass and said, look at what the Lord has done. Look at the testimony right here. Look at what has happened to this false lion that came up against me, but look at how the real lion, the Lion of Judah, came up and roared, took over that particular thing. It wasn't Tony the Tiger. This was an actual real lion. He saw a swarm of bees instead of flies. Bees are there to pollinate. They are there to reproduce. They are there to make things grow. Flies are there to put their eggs in it in order to pollute it. But there was bees there instead. Honey, who is sweet like the sweetness of a honeycomb? It is Jesus. Where he takes a situation that seems like it's roaring and it could tear you apart, and you tear it apart, not with your hands, but with your faith. Not with any of those type of carnal things that you trying to fight and you start to wallow while you at the job and you talk about you finna run up on somebody. No, you do it with your faith instead. And then he showed the person that was along with him, look at what the Lord has done. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get some more resources from what I went through. You missed it.
Yes.
This is what I went through. It happened. I had to go through it. I had to deal with it. But not only am I showing you what God has done, I'm going to continue to reach down into this, and I'm going to use and I'm going to feed off of this reservoir of experience. I'm going to go back to this. Look at what the Lord has done. Look into my past. Look at how good God has been over all of these minutes. Look at how God has good been so good to us over these last 10 years. Why is he sustaining us for this long period of time? Why does he want us to be around? Why is the city and all these dignitaries looking to us? We went from brown seats and a couple of babies and stuffed toys inside of the chairs in Maitland to being on Zoom with the chief of police, county commissioners, and other dignitaries from around the city, having people being sent here so they could be restored. And we're not a mega church, but we have mega impact. Amen. Because we have the lion on the inside of us. Please understand, people of God, these three approaches. When something is trying to be slick, or when the devil starts throwing shade to block out your light, recognize it. Go to the scriptures. Make sure that you're transparent before God when that enemy starts trying to speak it to you. Oh, you ain't gonna make it. You ain't going to amount to anything. You don't need to be with them church folk. They all phony and fake up in there. No. They're not ratchet like you are. No. Don't be judgmental like that. No. Good people, not church folk. Church folk is just people who just show up in the building and they're rejecting the word of God the entire time they're sitting there. On the outside, they look holy, but on the inside, they're actually an atheist. But a true believer has their mouth or their spirit open. What is their mouth? I'm not talking about your literal mouth. The real mouth of a saint is your heart. I'm ready to receive whatever you have to say for me because my life is in a shambles right now. And I've tried it my way. Guess what? Your way is having you go down deeper and deeper into sin. Far from a peaceful shore. Can't even sleep. Don't even have any comfort. And you got a job and you got money. But still no peace. Be transparent before God. Listen to God. Confess your sins before him. Be held accountable. Don't push yourself away from the table. And don't separate yourself in the garden like Adam and Eve did. It was at that moment that God was like, okay, let me go ahead and bust the devil's head. Y'all got to leave because you didn't want to be close to me either. Then angel of light. Please don't just select an entertaining preacher or a preacher or a teacher or a prophet or prophetess that suits you. A real preacher or teacher will have you feeling mixed emotions. Sometimes it's going to be happy. Sometimes it's going to be sadness. Sometimes it's going to be like rage. Why you had to talk about that this Sunday? Sometimes it's going to be sorrow, Lord, I'm sorry. I really do need to get right. I should have said something differently. I shouldn't be cussing like that in the car. Why are my kids throwing up fake gang signs? Because they saw you do it. And then when they get into the gang, what are you? Let's learn from these approaches. This is what the adversary is doing even right now. You know what the adversary is doing? He's spreading confusion. And the sad part is that you got a lot of people who are not saved that are getting blindsided by the enemy at every turn. And they're looking to other humans in order for their salvation. I'm waiting on Dr. Fauci. And Dr. Fauci waiting too. I don't have a vaccine. Somebody out there do. And then we could go ahead and start sticking all y'all folks so you could be safer. But the devil is the author of confusion, but God is not. He's the God of peace that surpasses all human understanding. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. Lady Martin, I think I've been on a good streak. For a whole month, I've been leaving on time. Ain't talking y'all to death. But I do want to crucify the flesh. I want you to learn things. I want you to choose God. And if you're being attacked by the enemy, it's only going to be in these three ways. It doesn't change. It's like you just going down the street and then all of a sudden your car gets shot up like 15 or 20 times, but you survive. And you're on your way to church. Or you're on your way to job because you're trying to turn your life around. And the enemy just tries to roar because he's afraid of your destiny. And the young lion always turns into an old lion. But if you can kill it early, get rid of it early, learn from it, use it as a reservoir of experience so that you can see and feed other people the sweetness of how God helped you during that moment in time in your life, you can learn from it and you can grow from it. The carcass was not decaying. He says, look at this fresh thing and how bees actually put a place to reproduce on the inside of it. And the riddle that Samson used to say to people, he said this to the Philistines, the ones who were actually trying to come against them. He said, out of the eater comes something to eat. If out of something strong comes something sweet. In other words, if you ain't spiritual, you can't catch that. If you're not into the things of God, you're not going to catch that. But what it really means is that there's some lions that you're going to have to defeat and you're going to have to suffer. But God will give you a firm foundation. He will confirm that this is a lion. I want you to know that this is what it's going to be. But as a result of this, he's going to strengthen you and establish you. And even after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will do all those characteristics just to hold you through until that rough situation, that situation that was going to eat you up, now you're eating it up and it's turned into a sweet experience. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these, your people. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. I pray, Lord God, that as the enemy has been revealed, let us seek the word. Let's study the scriptures. Let us not be aloof or ignorant as far as the approaches that the enemy takes in order to afflict God's children. But let us recognize his cunningness as a serpent. False teaching as an angel of light, and even ferocious attacks like a roaring lion. Lord God, we honor you and we praise you. May your people recognize these situations. May they draw closer to the light so that they can be very sensitive when darkness appears. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I want to reemphasize that. When you stay in the light, stay in the presence of God, stay in his face for an extended period of time, you could pick up the slightest hint of darkness. You could tell. It's like it's instant. It's like you watch your children. You parents, you typically don't have your kids watching rated R movies when they're like 5 and 6 years old. At least I hope not. You have them watching Paw Patrol and what are some of the baby shows that are out there? Bubble Guppies, that's like in my day. The Monchi Cheese, that's real old, ain't it? It's like real, real old. The Transformers, just innocent cartoons because you want your children to not be exposed to certain things, right? Right. You know the benefit of that? The benefit of that is that if they have a sibling or if they have a friend or even a commercial that comes on and it's like a horror movie, they are horrified by it and they're turned off by it because they're in the light so much and they're innocent so much. They're turned off by it. They don't want to be around it. But now you have a group of people that thrive on dark things and the light actually bothers them and they call it boring. So now the person is no longer sensitive to darkness, they're now sensitive to the light. Vampires are sensitive to the light. Or people that are filled with the devil are sensitive to the light. They can't be around it for long. Oh, I like the church, but too much light up in there. Let me go back to my carnal church where the preacher is sleeping with the wife, somebody else's. Let me go back to the Greenleaf church. At least I fit in there. But that's not how it's supposed to be, all right? Stay close to the light. Turn forward. And say, God wants your dreams and visions realized. Be blessed, people of God. I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it.